Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Utah State Parks has a series of 17 snowmobiling complex maps available. These maps have a description of the trail, difficulty rating, mileage, and GPS coordinates. Download them from www.snowut.com. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year, and while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends on Skype. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Faster Utah is proactive about school safety. For more information, fasterutah.org.
Thank you.
This year, give the gift of fun. Come to Sportsman's Warehouse to check off your Christmas shopping list. At Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find the gifts that keep on giving. Products your family and friends can use throughout the year in all their outdoor pursuits. Whether their passion is hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, or anything in between, Sportsman's Warehouse has the perfect gift. Still can't decide? A gift card is always a favorite if it's from Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious? And all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world. Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Joining us once again with the Hardware Wildlife Management Area. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us today.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Happy holidays to you. We're always excited to have you on the program because when we bring you on the program, we're talking about a family tradition for a lot of families throughout the state of Utah. It's been going on for generations.
Yes.
For folks unfamiliar with the Hardware Wildlife Management Area, give us a little background to this location.
Well, Hardware is a great place to visit, especially in the winter. We are most famous for offering wagon or sleigh rides through a herd of wild elk. And we've started that again this year with Haviland's Old West Adventure. They're offering our sleigh rides, and we're super excited to invite people up to see some elk.
This is a big change over the past couple of years. In fact, you've really been able to expand and give more people an opportunity much faster to enjoy those elk.
We have the Havilands are excellent horsemen, and they've come to us with 8 different teams. So on a busy Saturday, we can run 8 wagons of horses, and that's a lot of people that we can get through our line really quickly.
That's almost double your capacity previously.
It is double our capacity. Yep, it's fantastic to watch that hour wait turn into a 20-minute wait.
That's not bad at all. In fact, that 20-minute wait doesn't seem to be that long because there's so many other things going on. You got food trucks out there. You got the warming areas with the fires. A lot of cool stuff just to keep you entertained even while you're waiting.
We do. And the weekend of Christmas, that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday before Christmas, Santa is going to stop by. We heard he's doing a little fishing on Curtis Creek. He's going to swing by the sleigh line and visit with families.
That is all right. Again, for folks who've never done this before, this is a magical opportunity to interact with wildlife, to discover wildlife, and also discover each other in the family.
It is. We can't all make it to the North Pole to see reindeer. this time of year, but we can definitely make it to Hardware and see their cousins, the Rocky Mountain Elk. And while you're there, like you've mentioned, we do have a food concession at the sleigh line now. You can have some hot chocolate while you wait, a great roaring fire. The line is short, and the views from the line are amazing. You're standing close and snugly with your loved ones or your unloved ones, and it'll be a great time. We also, of course, have the Education Center with some new exhibits up there, and we welcome people to start their journey purchasing their tickets at the center, and we can walk you through and show you all the cool stuff we have.
That is so slick. In fact, tickets, are they exclusively sold on site or are they also online?
We only sell them on site at the Education Center the day of your ride, and we never run out of tickets. So as long as you've got your ticket in your hand and you're in that sleigh line before 4:30, you're going to get a ride.
I've got a lot of memories of enjoying those rides with my family, and it's so cool to
go
through the meadow and to see the elk so close. They'll let you get really close to them on the sleigh, but you don't want to jump off the sleigh because they'll scatter everywhere.
That's so true. We do have to remember they are wild elk, and we like to see that behavior. If anything strange happens on the wagon, like a pet that sneaks on, we don't allow pets on the wagon, or strange activities or loud noises, the elk do move. And we like to see that because they are wild animals. But it's a great time. You're so close. You could reach out and touch them. They're that close. We just don't let you.
And I know every one of the people who are running the sleighs themselves have a different personality. They'll give you a little history of the area. They'll give you history of the elk. Sometimes they'll tell you some cowboy poetry. Sometimes they'll sing songs with you. Every one of them is a unique experience.
We do. We do have great characters in our drivers. And again, our drivers this year are working with the Haviland Old West Adventure, and they are a fantastic crew. Super friendly, very knowledgeable. They love their horses. They love driving, and they love wildlife and people.
Pretty exciting. This is the second year that they've been involved with the Hardware Wildlife Management Area.
They are. We didn't scare them away last year. We're super glad they came back this year and are working as a team with the Division of Wildlife to pull off this fantastic family wildlife viewing opportunity.
In fact, the last several years, there have been a lot of changes. In fact, even just the name changed, the Hardware Wildlife Management Area. Still hard for me to get into my mouth sometimes. I still want to call it Hardware Ranch.
I know everybody still wants to call it Hardware Ranch, and that's okay if you do. But it was time to drop that word ranch. It just sends a different message. We're not ranching the elk. We're not ranching cattle or sheep there. We are a wildlife management area, and so we wanted to place some more emphasis on that wildlife management area aspect of Hardware.
Makes a lot of sense the way you've described that. And when we would point people there over the years, there was always a question whether or not they were being raised there or were they farmed elk or something, and you always have to explain everything, and this makes it a lot cleaner.
It does, and these next generations that are joining us for these family experiences, it'll take a few years, but they'll start calling it Hardware and remember that it's that wildlife management area rather than an elk ranch or farm.
Since we're talking about a little history here, give us the background. How'd the area get started? Why does it even exist?
Oh, excellent question. We have a pretty cool history. So at the turn of the century, there wasn't very many elk left in Cache Valley. They had been hunted due to unregulated hunting. Elk were reintroduced into the area, and they thrived. Also, what was thriving in the Cache Valley area was agriculture and new settlers coming into the area. So oftentimes, elk would get into stackyards, they'd get into ranchers' hay, and they'd just become a nuisance in the valley for those early settlers in the agriculture area. And so in the 40s, the 1940s, the property was purchased with federal funds and set aside as an area where the elk could be fed to prevent them from continuing their natural migration down into Cache Valley. And so we feed them up at Hardware to keep them out of Cache Valley. That way they're not causing road collisions, they're not in stackyards pulling down hay and kind of affecting that bottom line for our farmers and ranchers that are still here in the Cache Valley area. Granted, it's not all the elk that move into Cache Valley. We only hold over about 600 on an average year, maybe 700 to 800 on a good heavy winter year. But they hang out there at Hardware Ranch. I almost did it. I almost said ranch. They hang up there at Hardware where they're fed and they're happy. And it provides us with an excellent wildlife viewing opportunity. And another really important byproduct of us feeding the elk up there is that allows us to trap a sample size every year, and we can test for disease. So we've been trapping elk. It's one of the longest-running elk research stations. We've been trapping and monitoring elk health for over 40 years, and we've got some great data that helps us make good management decisions for our elk here in northern Utah. And that's because we feed there and we can lure them into our trap with the feed and hold them over there and do some testing.
That's incredible. In fact, there's been some changes on that side of the management side to actually minimize their stay at the ranch and shorten your season too.
Yeah, it has shortened our season. So it's important for folks to remember that our priority at Hardware is the health of the elk and mitigating that wildlife and human conflict. Because we're doing that, then we can also offer these awesome sleigh rides for family members. But we have had to make some changes over the years as different disease like brucellosis is getting closer to the state of Utah. And we have to be really careful because it's not natural for hundreds of elk to be in one area. And as we've all learned from COVID over the past few years, that congregating people or wildlife in a small area spreads that disease quicker. So it's important for us to have them on the meadow for just a limited amount of time, enough time that we're mitigating that wildlife conflict in the Cache Valley during the winter months, and just enough time for us to get them tested and do some research, and then get them off the meadow before diseases like brucellosis can spread. We're getting them off now in early February because that's when the spread of brucellosis is highest. The incidence of spreading brucellosis is highest in that part of February. So
it makes a lot of sense. In fact, the management of the facility itself has also been changing a little bit. Instead of growing hay and baling it and then feeding them out on the meadow there, you're actually growing stuff and then leaving that last little bit on other parts so they can be a little better dispersed.
We are. We continue watering when we have water, and that allows a little bit more regrowth, some green up, and that allows the elk to, like you mentioned, disperse more on those meadows in the fall before the winter season hits.
That's so cool. I've been following Hardware Wildlife Management Area for decades now, and it's been fascinating to see the changes and the developments and taking advantage of the science behind it, too. And the way you've managed this facility is incredible. I mean, you've got more water-efficient plants, more productive plants. The production's gone way up in spite of years when we've seen record lows of water available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have an excellent team of wildlife biologists that work with the manager at Hardware to make those decisions and make those improvements over time. And oftentimes, the public doesn't see those improvements because they come along slowly. But man, we're seeing some great stuff up there.
Exactly. In addition, some of the management has mitigated fire, for example. It's just fascinating to me what's been happening. I never realized how far an elk will travel. You talk about brucellosis. These guys get all the way up into other states. They travel farther than I do sometimes. And it's incredible that there's even that potential risk of them infecting your area there. I never imagined it.
Elk don't know they're crossing into Idaho and Wyoming. They're just being wild elk. And when they're there, they can come in contact with other herds. And then they can bring that disease back into Utah.
So far, we're seeing clean herds, correct, as far as brucellosis?
I believe so.
Testing's been going for decades now, and they've been tracking them with collars, and they know that these elk will go pretty good distances. Again, the opportunity is here for families to get together, create some holiday memories. I remember talking to some folks where they've actually were there as babies, and Phil Douglas used to be over the northern region area for quite a while, and he remembers being there as a child And then he was the outreach manager for decades in the northern mm-hmm. region. And it's just been a passion for him as well as so many other families. I know in the Cache Valley, that's a big deal when the Hardware Wildlife Management Area opens in the wintertime. I know mm-hmm. students at USU, it's date time for them on the weekends. I know a lot of proposals on the wagons.
There have been, yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's generations of families have come to Hardware for so many different reasons. And all throughout the year, too. But like you said, we are famous for our elk and the sleigh rides in the winter.
Let's talk about some of the family traditions that you've been developing over the years at the Education Center. Now, over the next couple of weeks, folks can actually create some of their own ornaments.
They can. So we have habitat ornaments. They are a hit, so we do them every year. We have families that come back every year to create a new ornament for their tree. And it's a plastic ball, and inside that plastic ball, we put reminders of everything Hardware. We've got red osier dogwood, canyon maple, juniper berries, and we'll even throw some scat in there sometimes so you can take a little piece of Hardware's habitat home with you every year.
That's so crazy. And it's so popular. It's been a huge tradition for years now. This has been going now for at least 6 or 7 years, I believe.
Yeah, even longer, I think. It's the 10-plus year for the habitat ornaments.
That's fun. I don't know how you come up with it, but I know you must be up all night sometimes coming up with these crazy things.
Well, thankfully, since it has been a tradition and folks want it every year, I don't have to come up with too much new stuff. Everyone loves the habitat ornaments so much.
It's a big deal. And again, if folks want to participate in those, when are they going to happen and how do people plan their adventure around that?
So for the month of December, we're open Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 4:30. And we have the Education Center open during those hours, and that's the time where you can come in and make a craft with us. You can read about elk and other wildlife that are at Hardware, and we've got a little book nook where you can read some fun children's books, make some tracks. We've got a touch table where you can pick up antlers and horns and discover the difference between the two. So just a lot of family-friendly activities that you can do there in our habitat room.
That center has developed over the decades. I know you've been a key person responsible for this. I remember interviews with you decades ago where that was that was a passion for you at the beginning even.
Yeah, it's been fun, and it's been fun this year to finally see some of our ideas realized. We've reset the habitat room this year with some elk information panels and turned it into an elk exhibit. And then next fall, we'll open in October and November again with nocturnal wildlife and a turkey exhibit. So we're super excited to be rotating some opportunities and opening more than just during the winter season. So we don't actually allow food or drink inside the building, and that's because as we're growing our exhibits, we want to protect those wildlife mounts and those exhibits from damage, which food and drink can sometimes cause.
Good to know. Cool thing about this is this additional opportunity is at no additional cost.
Correct. Yep. We don't charge. So the entrance to the Education Center and the activities we do inside are free. We do charge for the sleigh rides, and those are $10 for ages 9 and above, $4 for ages 4 to 8, and 3 and under ride free on your lap.
Again, lots of people come up to the Hardware Wildlife Management Area to discover these elk. Any recommendations as far as time of day if they want to minimize those lines?
Fridays can be a little bit slow between 10 o'clock and noon. And Sundays can be slow during that same time. So Fridays and Sundays from 10 to noon are our slower hours.
And again, if you're heading up there, there's lots of other wildlife to see, too. I've seen wild turkeys in the area. I've seen beavers in the creek below. I've seen...
Hopefully you've seen some mule deer.
Definitely deer. Those are easy.
Yep. And we've got a couple of bald eagles that are hanging out about halfway up the canyon, down by the Hiram City Power Plant area, that big wetland. And there's been a muskrat that I've seen almost every day out in the pond.
For folks who are anglers, winter's a great time to do a little fishing on Curtis Creek.
It is. Curtis Creek and Blacksmith Fork River are great fisheries.
For folks who are snowmobilers, there's a trailhead just above you. where people can take off and enjoy some amazing adventures too.
There is. Hardware is part of a very large snowmobile complex, and we are a Shoshone trailhead. And so you can park your truck and trailer at Hardware at no cost in our OHV parking lot and unload your snowmobile, and you can be to the Sinks or Idaho in just a few hours.
Snowshoeing is an opportunity.
It is. Snowshoeing, and if you like to totally ski. So we don't have any marked trails or actual designated trails, but if you stop by the Education Center on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, we'd be happy to point you in the right direction. You can park in that lower OHV lot, go up the Curtis Creek drainage and a few places behind the visitor center and get some outstanding views and a good snowshoe.
For folks who have never been there before, if they want to enjoy this experience to the fullest, they should come fully prepared, which means dressing properly for those conditions.
Absolutely. The weather changes and can change every hour. We all live and love Utah, and we know what the weather can do, the same at Hardware. So bring layers. You're going to be waiting outdoors for your ride. The ride, of course, is outdoors. And at any time, it could start snowing, raining, or be a beautiful sunshiny day. So warm layers are the best.
So shorts and flip-flops are not encouraged then?
Nope. We also don't encourage stiletto heels.
I can see that.
Yep.
I know that over the years there's been a lot of proposals on those wagons. Any suggestions or ideas to help them ensure that something like that goes off without a hitch?
Just talk to us at the Education Center first, then we'll rope the Haviland team in and we'll get you set up with something fun.
I know over the years we've made suggestions that if you are thinking of doing something like that, maybe not bring the exact ring to put out there, because a little jostle on the wagon, I know that over the years they have had to hunt for those things, and in the snow, a shiny ring oftentimes looks like everything else.
You know what, and we have a hard and fast rule on our wagon. If it goes off the side, we're not stopping to pick it up. So, got to remember, those elk are wild animals, and we'll go look for the ring in the spring. But, yep, bring a spare.
Bring something that costs a dollar or two and then replace that when you get back to the beginning of the ride.
Yep.
It's a magical time. There's a lot of fun things going on. Are there any other special activities coming up that we should be aware of after the holidays?
No. January and February are a good slow time to come visit us. That's when visitation drops a little bit after the holidays. And then we're closing the rides for the season on February.
On years like this, I know a lot of times the best viewing of the elk oftentimes is just after the holiday season. Crowds are a little smaller sometimes, and the elk numbers are at their maximum.
Yes. So the further we get into the winter, the more elk we will have, and also the more bulls we will have. So a good time to visit is after snowstorms and when we have a heavy snow and cold weather. That pushes more of the bulls in. So right now we are sitting really good at about 300 to 400 elk. That is an excellent viewing experience. We have some bulls down right now. But if you wanted to wait until January or February, just watch the weather. And when we've got storms coming in, that's a good time to come up, because that pushes the elk down into that nice warm meadow where there's plenty of food.
Since you mentioned storms, let's talk highway conditions. A lot of times you can figure out what the highway conditions will be with the cameras as well as other tools that you have available on your website.
Yes, so the best thing to do, of course, is to watch the weather, check out the weather report. Hourly report is the best. And then to go to the UDOT website for road conditions. And you're looking at Blacksmith Fork Canyon, State Road 101. There's a couple cameras in there. And so that can show you what the road's doing. UDOT is absolutely fantastic at plowing us out, but we are a terminal canyon, so the highway ends. It's not a through canyon. It doesn't go to another city or town. So UDOT does need to plow out Sardine Canyon, Valley View, those other through canyons first. So sometimes the plows might not be up until a little bit later. But we start answering our phones at 10 o'clock, and we are happy to tell people about the road conditions, how many elk are in the meadow, and what the weather is doing.
And you would know because you travel that every day.
Every day, even before the plows come up. So
it's got to be magical for you. In spite of some spooky conditions sometimes on the worst storms, it's got to be just fun for you to go up in the valley up there. You're above the inversions. Even when it's cold and socked in the valleys in the Salt Lake area and other places, you're above that. You're balmy, and I know a lot of times you don't even need heavy coats sometimes because you're above those inversions.
We are, and we're also in a rain shadow, so we make a joke that it's a absolutely wonderful place to live and to be an early settler in the old days, and it's a terrible place to offer sleigh rides because that rain shadow drops all of our moisture over on the Monte Cristo side. There'll be 3 or 4 feet of snow over there, and you come into that little bowl that makes up the meadow for Hardware, and there's a couple of inches of snow, the sun's out, and it's 33 degrees and warm.
A lot of times their wagons are used instead of sleighs.
Yeah, and that's a common question. Sometimes folks are disappointed that it's not a sleigh ride. It is the same piece of equipment. When we have snow and conditions are great, we put runners on. And when we don't have snow, we put wheels on. But it's the exact same piece of equipment, and it's a very similar experience. The wheels are just maybe slightly more bumpy than the runners. The elk don't seem to mind.
They're easy going either way. They just like the snacks.
Yep.
Again, I like the opportunities out there. Any other things that we should talk about as far as the Hardware Wildlife Management Area?
No, I think you've pretty much covered it all. It's also a great place to visit in the fall, the summer, and the spring, too, if you're the adventurous type.
Let's talk camping things. Things have changed a little bit on the camping side up there.
They have. We have some designated campgrounds now. We've closed some campgrounds. We have a campground camping season, and all of those would be excellent questions for Brad.
I'll hassle him shortly on that. I have to compliment you. There's a vision, and I can see things progressing and changing and getting better every year.
Good. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Again, if folks want more information, where do they start?
They would start on our website at wildlife.utah.gov and just type Hardware into the search bar. That'll pull up our Education Center website and give you all the information you need to know to plan your trip. You're also welcome to call us. We answer the phones on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays from 10 to 4:30.
Sweet. And for folks who've never been there before, coming up from the Salt Lake Valley, what's the best way to get there?
You're going to want to head on I-15 North. And then you take the Brigham City exit and go up and over Wellsville Canyon, also known as Sardine Canyon. And then you follow the signs up to Hardware. We also have directions on our website. And fair warning to all those folks that use navigation, sometimes it doesn't recognize Hardware and it sends you off on a wild goose chase. So just make sure you're staying on I-15 and paved state highways.
Good advice.
Yep. If something looks a little sketchy, like navigation's taking you off on a snow-packed dirt road, just don't do it.
And one suggestion I would also have is make sure you leave early. Give yourself more than enough time, especially if weather conditions are a little sketchier. It's going to take a lot longer than you think to get there.
It will. The drive from Hiram up to Hardware, once you leave human civilization, is only 18 miles, but it takes 30 to 40 minutes, depending on road conditions.
So if you're pushing towards the end of the day and you want to catch that last ride on the sleighs or the wagons, you want to make sure you give yourself a good buffer to get
there. Yes, plenty of time. And again, UDOT's great at plowing our snow, and it's a great snow. I drive up in a two-wheel drive old Caddy every day. So it's a good road. You just have to be cautious and use your Utah driving skills that we all have.
Beautiful place. Website one more time.
Wildlife.utah.gov and type Hardware into the search bar.
Marnie Lee joining us once again with the Hardware Wildlife Management Area. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us today.
Anytime. Thanks.
Thank you.
explore the universe from one of Utah's Dark Sky Parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Play safe on the water. In Utah, youth 12 to 17 must pass an approved safety class prior to operating personal watercraft on Utah waters. Classes are offered statewide. Register now or get more information by calling 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
As inviting as the mountains are for snowmobiling, they are not to be taken lightly. Avalanches are a very real danger and must be respected. Before venturing into the mountains, always check with authorities for snow conditions and danger areas. Always ride with others and ensure each person in your group is equipped with a rescue beacon, a shovel, and a probe. The mountains offer a great riding experience, but avalanches can pose a real threat, so always be prepared. Safe Riders, you make snowmobiling safe.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Chase Peely joins us once again at the trailhead with Utah's OHV and snowmobile program. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun to talk about change of season and what we have coming next. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
Those avalanche safety beacons are critical. If you haven't played with one for 6 or 7 months, it doesn't hurt to bring it out. Put new batteries in it. Make sure it works right. Make sure you know that you're working right with it. Make sure you know how to send and receive on both ends of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of great products for avalanche beacons and some great new technology and some that are just really reliable. And so as far as suggestions on avalanche beacons, you know, the old saying goes is the best beacon for you is the one that you know how to use, making sure that you're very familiar with how that beacon operates. Because when that stressful moment hits, it's almost like you go into an autopilot situation where you just need to be able to use it, and it's got to be second nature to be able to use it. And so as you're out there riding, make sure you spend at least 15, I'd even say 20 minutes every time you ride doing some beacon drills is what we call them. We do them with our rangers quite frequently. We do them in our trainings. And this is something that everyone should be able to do because first responders and search and rescue communities, yeah, they may be able to help, but a lot of times they're not the first ones on scene. It is the community that are the first ones on some of these stressful scenes. And so we really rely on the community to be able to know how to use their own equipment, making sure they're calm and collected and that they can do what they need to do when the moment calls for it, and making sure they know every integral part about their own safety equipment to make sure that they can provide that help if needed.
Well, if there is an avalanche, the first responders are the first guys who are there, like you said, and it will take time for a team to get up there to help rescue, and by that point it might be too late. So it's so critical to know your gear. I know with our family, I like the drills you've been talking about. We've done that with our kids where you'd hide the beacon in the pile of leaves or something and then let the kids try to find it. And it's a ball. It's a lot of fun even just in the yard on practicing, getting familiar with it, and understanding how those things work.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I like how you stated you played that, what we call a game. And it really is, even a stressful moment like that to train for something, to treat it like a game. And I have that with my kids as well. As I've done as simple as hiding a beacon in the yard and having them find it with the other beacon. They think it's really cool, but what you're really prepping for is that this equipment works and that everyone knows how to use it. So make a game of it when you go out and about, and really that provides an even better opportunity to get to know your gear.
Especially if you put a treat or something with it. They'll find the package of gummy bears with it or something, and then or root beer or something, and then it just builds upon it. Every year they can't wait to start the season off right with a little practice.
Yeah, so that's a great idea to add some treats to it, bury it with the beacon, and really what you kind of think of it as is a scavenger hunt. So that's a great way to kind of add some fun to something that could be potentially stressful in the future, but the bonus is that you know how to use it. So, man, I never thought of that. That's actually a great idea.
Again, it's a skill that becomes part of what they know. And again, other tools are useful. Spot satellite messenger I've found useful out on the trail sometimes. Obviously, self-service isn't always available, but again, let people know when you're coming back, where you're going exactly, and if for some reason you change your plans, what's the backup plan so that they can send the rescue team after you if you need it.
Yeah, and what a lot of that does is adds a lot of preventative measures just in case. As I left yesterday, I made sure my family knew exactly where I was, the general area, and when I'd return. So simple things like that can make a potential search later a lot less stressful because you know exactly where they're at least the general area. You knew that they weren't going to be home, or if they didn't come home, then that's when you start checking on your family members as well. So little tips like that go above and beyond on making sure that we're not making something bigger than what it really is. I can't say enough, and I know that's what everyone preaches, but I do know that not everyone does that as well. So that's your little check and reminder to make sure that you do that. And I like how you brought the new satellite messengers. The Garmin InReach is just one of many. And so technology and the advancement of this safety technology is doing wonders for the sport of winter recreation, because really, that's just adding an extra level of safety. But just like I said before, make sure you know that it works and that you're very familiar with it, because I have seen a lot of people have these advancements in safety tech and they don't know how to use it very well. So sometimes if I do know how to use it, I'll give them a little bit of education. I'm like, hey, this is what I do with mine. This is something that you could do with yours. Find what works for you. And so just like we always said, make sure you know how to use your equipment before heading out. Equipment does no good unless you know that type of information to use it.
I know a lot of times you can get these little units for almost nothing, brand new, but you have to activate the subscription for the thing, and it doesn't do you a whole lot of good if you don't have the thing activated.
Yeah, we actually got some for our trail crew foremen because they, you know, work in really remote places. And some of our rangers that really get out into the backcountry. And so we did. We had some little mini training to make sure that they knew how to use it. We got them all set up for to use those. And little steps like that, because these are used for your personal time as well, at least the people who buy them, they're available to the public. So little steps like that may prevent a problem or a headache out on the trail, just to make sure you know how to use them.
It's real easy to lose track of time. I mean, I've been out there Christmas tree hunting and the sun sets a little quicker than you think it will be, or it's taking longer to find that perfect tree, or you go out there ice fishing and the fish are going crazy and you lose track of time. And you don't want people at home to worry about things. If you can communicate with them with one of these messengers, they're so handy. It takes the stress out of the situation. And if there is a problem, you can tell them where you are and takes the search out of the search and rescue. I mean, if it's just something simple like, oh, dang, I broke this part or I ran out of gas or something, you can help the team be prepared for what you really need instead of being prepared for a broken leg or who knows what it could be. If you can keep people in the loop as to what's actually happening, it saves a lot of time, and everybody's more prepared if they do have to come and get you after all.
Yeah, I like how you brought that up, of making sure that your family knows. It may be something a little more simple than a full-blown broken leg or a search. Now, there are some instances where it is a all hands on deck. Everyone's going out to make sure that this person's safe because they may have broken their leg. They may be really lost. But I will say some percentages of these, what I call either like a search and rescue or a incident where we're trying to make sure someone's safe, is sometimes they'll call when they finally have service and say, oh, I'm actually okay, and you don't need to have all this response for it. So something simple like that can change the nature of when medical services or search and rescue services head out to make sure you're safe. Simple steps like that.
Yeah, and I hate to pester search and rescue because, again, these are another team of volunteers, and oftentimes they're woken up at 1 in the morning to go out and rescue somebody they've never heard of before, never seen before, and sometimes in very treacherous conditions. They're putting their lives at stake, and if it's a broken belt or something simple, again, you can avoid a lot of stress for them and everybody else just by sharing that information. And for the cost of these messengers, the cost has gone down a lot in the last decade. It's almost becoming an essential piece of gear for everybody who plays out there.
Yeah, exactly. And our partners within the sheriff's office and their search and rescue teams, we couldn't have asked for better teams in the nation. Utah really has, as I visit our county partners and talk with some of our search and rescue volunteers, they are some of the most amazing people, and I really enjoy being able to talk with them and hear their stories and sometimes be a part of some of their rescues because they just do such amazing work. But just like you said, they are volunteers and they are dedicating a lot of their time, even though they would dedicate all their time to help someone in need. It is a volunteer position, so if you can prevent it from your side, please prevent it from your side by taking some of those steps you talked about earlier and making sure that even those little steps could prevent something really big on something like that big response that we'd need from our search and rescue. Our search and rescue members are some of the best I've ever been able to work with, and such an awesome opportunity for myself to get to know some of these volunteers has been probably one of my favorite parts about my own career.
They're so humble. They're so willing to help, to put their lives out there. But if it's not necessary, I hate to cry wolf and send the team up there for something simple that doesn't require that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And like we said earlier, they're more than willing to come help. But if we can prevent some of that stuff from happening, then let's do that on the preventative end.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Utah State Parks has a series of 17 snowmobiling complex maps available. These maps have a description of the trail, difficulty rating, mileage, and GPS coordinates. Download them from www.snowut.com. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Smoke up some Bonneville whitefish just in time for the holidays. We're bringing out the fillet knife. Next on Western Life Radio.
Hey, let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? Will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
As we reflect on giving thanks this month, Sportsman's Warehouse would like to say thanks to you. Sportsman's Warehouse started right here in Utah and now has stores across the nation. We love being your local outfitter and sharing in your success stories and outdoor adventures. Check us out on the web at sportsmanswarehouse.com or come visit us, Utah born and Utah proud. Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside. Celebrate the holidays right with some smoked Bonneville whitefish. Scott Tolentino with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources fires up the smoker.
Bonneville whitefish, they're definitely a unique fish. Not only do they grow pretty good size, and people are excited about that, but they fight really well when you're angling for them. But when it comes down to table fare, they're almost second to none. In fact, my favorite fish to eat out of Bear Lake, and these people, a lot of times they think whitefish, and they're thinking of the whitefish that are found in a lot of the rivers and streams and lakes around the state of Utah. And since they live in a lake, they don't develop a lot of intermuscular bones, and so that makes them really appealing to people who want to put them on the table to eat. And so a little bit different than the river whitefish, and they're very tasty. There's no difference between them and the trout anywhere that you catch out of any other lake. You need to skin the skin off of these, where some people leave the skin from a trout on them, but the scales on whitefish are large. But you fillet them just like you do a trout, but the meat is white, flaky, and it's, like I said, wonderful eating, and people just like to come up and fish for them for sport, too. And so you can do either or. Come up here and enjoy yourself. It's just about any way you would do, like, a white, tender, flaky fish. Anything like tilapia or walleye or wipers, you could use these whitefish out of Bear Lake and do them the same way. So you could either pan fry them, you could deep fry them, you could bread them. You don't really have to bread them, and just fry them in butter. And so they go well a whole bunch of different ways, but probably the most popular way, like you mentioned, is smoking them, and they're a wonderful fish.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Keep yourself safe this winter season. Wear layers to protect yourself from winter's cold. Also keep a hat, scarf, and mittens on hand as essential winter gear. Select footwear appropriate for snow and slush, and be sure to keep extra dry clothing in your vehicle in case you get wet. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends on Skype. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE. Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Less travel, exploring the woodlands, the red rocks and streams. He's sharing his campfire from season to season. New places and people with stories and dreams. Through cadence silence of nature, the wilderness beckons. A song of the mountains rings out through the trees. The voice of the backcountry echoes forever. It carries the message, live wild and free. Wild and free. The song of the mountains is calling to me. Western wildlands, discover the backcountry dream.
Folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.